Now I will praise the Lord. Before we introduce the scripture, our main scripture, let me tell you a little story. Pastor was greeting people after his Easter message. And in the line, he came to a man that he had known for years, because this man would come every Christmas and every Easter. And the pastor shook his hand and he said to the man, "Sir, don't you think it's time that you joined the army of the Lord?" The man said, "I'm already in the army of the Lord." The pastor said, "Well, how come I only see you on Easter and Christmas?" And the man said, "It's because I'm in the Secret Service." Genesis chapter 29, this is quite an amazing story, and I believe there's some profound truths for us to glean today from God's Word. Verse 16, now Laban had two daughters. Everybody say two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, so she had some kind of, she was either cross-eyed or either had a physical it might have just been that her eyes didn't glisten as much as Rachel. Her sister was very beautiful. The Bible says that Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Let me just say this. Real beauty is never how you look on the outside. I've known so many people that have such beautiful souls. And when I first fell in love with Mary, I was first attracted to her physical beauty. But my wife is far more beautiful on the inside than she is on the outside. Because real beauty is found in a person's soul and who they really are. And it's really important that you understand God thinks you're beautiful, okay? Now, Jacob loved Rachel. So Jacob falls head over heels in love with Rachel like I did for Mary. So he said to Laban, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." That was a common Bedouin practice. So in that part of the world, in that time of history, that was one of the most common ways a marriage would happen. 7 years of working for the father-in-law. Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. So stay with me." So he's consenting to Jacob becoming his son-in-law. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. This is a beautiful poetic expression of someone captured by love. And they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Beautiful sentence. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go on to her." Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and they made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob. And Jacob went into her. And Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it was to come to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. So he wakes up with the wrong woman. Apparently he wasn't, either had a lot to drink the night before, but he woke up with someone different than he thought. And he said to Laban, "What is this you've done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why have you deceived me?" Now, the reason why he deceived him is that Jacob was a deceiver. And so God will always put someone who's trying to advance in life through deception, through a mischaracterization of integrity, through a lack of character. God always knows how to capture cheaters and capture people by putting someone even superior. So Jacob, the con man's beating Laban, the father of con men, okay? For 20 years, God's going to burn out of Jacob this spirit of self-promotion. He had the heart after God, but he had the way he went about it. He stole his brother's birthright and blessing through dishonest means. And now God's just curing him of that through a really painful journey. But Laban says, "Hey, this is the way we do it in our country. To give the younger before the firstborn is not right. The older sister, Leah, had the right." So Laban's justifying this very unethical treatment. "Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve me another 7 years." So he's maneuvered through this to get 14 years out of service, and it grows to 20 and in totality out of Jacob. And Jacob did so, fulfilled her week, and he gave him his daughter. So after that week, he had both the women and Rachel his wife. Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as his maid. Then Jacob went into Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. That's a problem. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Now, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. All three patriarchs' wives went through a season of barrenness. Sarah was barren. Her and Abraham believed God. God healed her barrenness, you know, at 89 years old. Rachel was barren. Rebecca, all three of them had to push through. Listen to me. God never wants you to settle for a season of fruitlessness. You believe God for your drought to end. You believe God for your spiritual barrenness to end. Because there is something God has for you, okay? He wants to see if you're going to push through it. With the loss, so the Lord opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son, verse 32, called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. That is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. She conceived again. Going through time now, she bore a second son and said, because the Lord has heard that I'm unloved. In the Hebrew language, that word is hated. And he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, which means heard. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I've borne him these three sons. Therefore, his name was Levi, which means joined or attached. She conceived again and bore a son, her fourth son. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah, and she stopped bearing. Father, we thank you for your word. For by your word, our spirits are fed. Our faith is developed. Our lives are transformed. Our minds are renewed. Your word is milk to the infant. It is meat to the mature. It is bread for your children. Anoint your servant and your word and your people. Capture us in this moment for your kingdom. Deliver the oppressed. Encourage the discouraged. Speak to the heart of everyone listening. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This story has important impact for all of us because it is an expression of human nature, of the human condition. And in it, we have three primary characters, really five, but three primary characters, Jacob, Leah, Rachel. And all of them have dysfunctional issues. They're all people searching for love, for acceptance, for significance, for the basic qualities that meet our needs as human beings. And in their journey, there's amazing things that happen. So Jacob falls in love with Rachel. He's madly in love with her. He works for 7 years. Didn't seem like 7 days. He's just willing to do anything for her. He ends up with Leah. He puts up with Leah, tolerates Leah because of Rachel. Leah feels tremendously dishonored and broken. But we know, hinted in the scripture, is that Leah was at least a participant with her father in kind of conning Jacob. So she was... in her mind, she said, when that handsome man comes into my life, my needs are going to be met. I'm going to feel so much better about myself when that guy comes into my world. But it didn't work out that way, did it? Not for her. But there's an amazing thing. The kindness of God is seen right away. When the Lord saw how she was mistreated, even though it was by her own kind of agreement and participation with her father's scheme, she's hurt and God looks at her. And God opens her womb. And this is an important point. I put it in your notes just to get. God has a beautiful way of offsetting life's injustice and pain in one part of our life by releasing a special blessing and fruitfulness in another part of our life. So often in life, when something's really withheld from us or taken from us, God will, there comes a heavenly offset. A balance. And it's important, listen to me, it's important that you see the good thing when you're going through the bad thing. And it's important that you have kind of a holistic or a broad reach that you see across the whole circumference of your life so that you don't miss something good. Jacob loves Rachel. Rachel becomes kind of miserable, not just because she's barren, but her nemesis, her sister, is fruitful. So with every baby that Leah has, Rachel feels more and more internal emptiness and anger and frustration. It's building up, and now that's pouring out on Jacob, and Jacob's, you know, having to deal with that. And so there are three really unhappy people. And so Jacob kind of, he's fully sided with Rachel in these matters. Now, this is important. Don't miss out on the good thing God's doing in your life just because the thing you really want him to do hasn't happened yet. Well, I'm believing God for this all the while. Leah's having baby. Hey, Joel, welcome back from Japan. As a missionary to Japan. All the while, he spends 5 minutes with Leah and she gets pregnant. Once a year, he spends, you know, she's a baby machine. Bum, 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 bum. So she's having, but Jacob's not appreciating it. He doesn't understand. But out of these four sons, two of them became the most important tribes of Israel. Levi's the priest came from Judah. Jesus came from. In fact, that verse is one of the most important verses of the Bible, where she said, "Now I will praise the Lord and call his name Judah." When Jacob in chapter 49 of Genesis gives the blessing over his sons, when he comes to Judah, his prophetic meter just explodes. He starts prophesying about the lawgiver, about Shiloh, about the scepter of righteousness, about the Messiah. So Jesus came through the lineage of Judah. David came through the lineage of Judah. Judah was the first tribe when they configured the tribe. And then as they would travel in the battle or in their journey, Judah was the spear, the first tribe to always go forward. So Judah goes first in the book of Judges as they conquered Canaan. Judah went first. Praise goes first. Judah was the first tribe to recognize David as king in 2 Samuel. They anointed him as king 7 years before the rest of Israel did. So Judah is a massively important idea and principle in the Bible, not just a tribe, but a spiritual principle of praise and worship. And so she says, because listen to me, praise is so much more than something we do. Praise is our hearts declaring the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. When you worship God, when you praise God, you're in alignment for your purpose. You have found your reason to give God glory. Because our purpose is never a thing, it's always a person, it's Jesus. Your purpose is not a thing you do, it's a person you know, his name is Jesus. Everything else is expressed through that. But anyways, they're having all this fruitfulness, but they're not appreciating it. Listen, learn to be grateful, to think gratefully, then you don't miss the good things God's doing, even when you're waiting for the big thing, even when you're waiting for the awesome thing, okay? Enjoy your journey. Enjoy your walk with God. So these things happen. They're powerful. But let's talk about it. Leah had fallen into the trap of surrendering her happiness and significance into someone else's hands. But God will never allow a person to have power to make you happy. Thank you, Pastor Tyler. No person has the power of your happiness except God. It's always a harmful trap when we fall into the pattern of trying to earn other people's love and acceptance. And so she's a wonderful woman, and she says, "I'm going to do so many awesome things, that man's going to finally love me. He's going to accept me. I'm going to work so hard." All the time I meet people that are overly engaged, that wear themselves out, that burn out, and at the bottom of their motivation, either in their family or their business, whatever it is this hunger for significance and acceptance. And they're just thinking, if I just achieve more, people will accept me, they'll celebrate me, they'll reward me, they'll love me more. But that's not the way life works. And she was in this trap. She has a son. And said, now, God, see, I've had a son. Now that man will love me. But Jacob never did love her the way he loved Rachel. He never did meet that need in her life. Leah was miserable because her husband's love was restrained and incomplete. Rachel was miserable because she was barren and her sister was fruitful. Jacob was miserable because he had four wives, because all of the shenanigans and manipulations couldn't get him what he wanted from God. Jacob was miserable, listen to me, because he couldn't outsmart God. He couldn't outwit God. And he came to this head-on confrontation. God changes his name. He has encounters with God. Everything begins to change in his world. She has a second son named Simeon. Now that he's heard, I've had a son. Listen to me. Don't waste your whole life trying to earn from people what only God can give you. I can love you because I'm loved. Because he loves me, I can love you. Because I'm accepted, I can accept. Because he gives me significance, I can love you in a non-partial way. Because I don't need you to complete me. Now, this is really important. Mary and I just celebrated our 38th wedding anniversary. And for 38 years, listen to me. For 38 years, both of us have always loved someone more than we love each other. That's Jesus. We loved him before we met. We loved him after we met. We love him now. He meets our needs. And I don't ask her to take Jesus' place in my life. And she doesn't need me to take his place in her life. So these needs for significance. Your life has significance, value, and meaning because of who you are to God, not who you are to people. Those things, significance and value and meaning, everyone needs them. And the gospel doesn't say don't care about those things. The gospel says let Jesus meet those needs. In him we live and move and have our being. Let Jesus be the one who gives your life value. Let Jesus be the one who gives your life meaning. He does so beautifully. So these things go on. And finally, she has her third son, Levi. And she says, this is going to bring him into my world. Now, she was raised by a father who was a manipulator. And she thought for sure that her achievements could manipulate her husband's love. And it never worked. Now, please listen to me. The problem was not that Leah's eyes were delicate. The problem was that in her heart, she felt ugly. You have to get this. Our standards of beauty are so capricious. They're so meaningless. Your physical body is just the suit you put on. You will slip it off and put on an eternal one. The real you is on the inside. All of this is just the outside. And one of the greatest experiences of my life has been, I prayed for, 40 or 50 kids on Wednesday, and it was fun because God gives me glimpses of people's souls. It's so overwhelming when I see how beautiful God sees every person. It is overwhelming. That there's nothing in the art gallery of heaven, which is the human race. We're God's workmanship. There's not one painting, there's not one work of art that God doesn't think is priceless and beautiful. God, please tell Leah she's beautiful. Please tell. Listen to me. If you want it, get your nose job, get your face job, get your... the other jobs. Do whatever. But don't expect your heart to feel different after you change the outside. Don't expect that. People that are in sexual confusion, they say, well, if I just change my orientation, if I change who I am, I'll be happy. No, 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 you won't. Real happiness comes by having a real relationship with God. Now, I pray if you have a desire to get married, get married. But don't get married to get happy. Okay? Don't get divorced to get happy either. If I just get rid of him, I'll be happy. No. So she finally says, listen to me. She finally gives up her pursuit of trying to let people meet her internal need. And she says, now, I'm just going to praise the Lord. Oh, now. Praise is so much more than just a thing we do. Praise is our heart's surrender to God. Our heart's recognition of His place in our life. When our hearts feel ugly, we desperately try to attach people, things, or achievements to our lives in order to help us feel better about who we are. But that never works. So she said, I will praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to praise the Lord. Just tell him that. We praise God because His love and acceptance heals our insecurities and pain. She said this, Lord, I turned the needs of my heart to You. And I will receive from You what I can't receive from this world. I will receive from You, God, what no person can give me. We praise God because He is the only one who can give our lives true significance, value, and meaning. It comes from Jesus. Come on. Purpose is a person named Jesus. And when He comes, meaning comes. Significant comes. He has the outcropping of specific assignments and platforms. All that comes, but it begins with a person named Jesus. We praise God because we've finally come to the place of resting in His love and grace. She said, I'm done. I'm done. Come on, moms, you can do everything for your kid. And you hope before you die, you'll get a thank you. You can pour your life into their lives, and there's never an equal reward. And if you're not careful, you'll feel empty after they're grown and gone. Because you expected to get back from them what you gave to them. But here's what God says. I'm the one. Let me tell you how I feel about you. I think you're to die for. That's what Jesus would say. I think you are one of a kind workmanship. I think you're beautiful. I think nothing but wonderful thoughts about you. Okay. We praise God because we are His workmanship. I just said that. An original, one of a kind masterpiece. There's no one like you. One of the fun things about kids that I really enjoy and about my grandkids is their individual distinctiveness. Their unique properties is so fun. And it's God loves diversity. In fact, your uniqueness is key to your significance. We don't need you to be like someone else. Be like you're supposed to be. And the more you're comfortable with that and express that, the more significant your life becomes, because there's no one like you. You're a one-of-a-kind original masterpiece. You're God's workmanship. He celebrates you. We praise God because we found our life's significance and purpose in Him. Now, this is really important. So the concept of significance is value. How valuable do you feel your life is? And so 20 some years ago, I felt valueless. And I felt significance leave me when a bunch of people left me. When the church grew from 4,000 to 150 people. I felt because I was using people to meet my need for significance instead of God. See, whenever you need something from a person, you will always create in that relationship a dependency that often becomes unhealthy. But when your needs are met in God, and you come to that person, you could do whatever God asks you to do, and you don't need them. Jesus said, love your enemies because you don't need anything from them. You get my love, now give my love. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, anybody can invite their friends to dinner. Invite people that could never buy you dinner, that could never reciprocate. Invite people that are poor because you don't need them to give back to you. I'll give back to you. I'll meet your need for value, for significance. I had to go back to kindergarten, and in kindergarten, here's what Jesus said. Here's what I learned. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones, some big ones like you, maiden, to him belong. They are weak. I had to learn, listen to me, that Jesus loved me as much in my worst day as he did in my best day. That my behavior did not affect his love. See, because I built into, I don't know how I did it, but I built kind of a value system that said, I'm living so good, God treats me so good. If people would just live as good as me, God would treat them as good as he treats me. Then I started living bad. When bad things happened. And I said to God, I don't deserve that because you see me. See how holy I am? And I found out that my belief system was imperfect. That I had become self-righteous. No, I believe in holiness. Man, it is so much better than unholiness, okay? Sin destroys our soul. Holiness is healthy. It's awesome. It's wonderful. But holiness is not a discipline we do to get things from God and to win his approval. His approval makes me holy. His love empowers me to live a holy life. Okay, a couple more points. We praise God because he's always good, even when life isn't. Someone say, God's always good. Listen, when you can celebrate God. So story in the Bible, Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are beaten unjustly. They're put in prison and they're locked hand and feet in prison. And at midnight, they prayed and sang hymns to God, saying praises to God. And the whole prison heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Every prison door opened and every chain just magically fell off. Now listen to me. Two guys worshiped, but everybody got set free. When you worship God today in here, somebody out there that you love was set free. When you worship God for being, listen, when they began to sing about the goodness of God, whether their backs were aching, whether their bodies were bound, that contradiction created such an upheaval that God had to jump down. Angels just came right down into it. Said, this has got to stop. And they broke that season like that. Ah. Praise is your weapon, man. If you want to give the devil a back eye today, just tell God how good he is. The devil can't believe that will come out of your lips if you're going through a tough time. We praise God because we've taught ourselves to live gratefully. Now, this is important because I have a tendency to be overly critical of myself. Perfectionist, whatever happened. So I've taught myself the power of gratitude. So I begin my days by thanking God. I thank you for the universe. the sun, the moon, the planets, the stars, the galaxies. I thank you for the earth, animals, plants, birds, fish, the oceans, the seas, the waters, the streams, the mountains, the valleys, the colors, the rainbows, the elements, the rocks, the beauty of earth, for mankind and nations. I thank you for salvation, for forgiveness of sins, redemption, for adoption, for justification, for the gift of righteousness, for abundance of grace. I start thanking God for my wife and my children, my family, this church, miracle church. And about 10 minutes into it, I'm happy, because grateful people are happy people. So, it doesn't matter what's going wrong. Make sure you learn to be grateful for what's going right. Because your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as a non-Christian. Because you have Jesus. Oh, Pastor, I have nothing to be grateful for. That's not true. You're going to heaven. There is a real heaven. There's a real hell. You have God in you. Your sins have been blotted out. Oh, there's so much to be grateful for. So you have to train your brain to be thankful. We praise God because He will always love us, even when people don't. Now, see, we overcome rejection. So I had rejection when, 4,000 friends left in a brief period. I felt rejected. I felt rejected because I built my value on their acceptance. When you let people make you, you always open the door for people to break you. So you can't let people tell you who you are. When people leave, Jesus stays. Come on. He stays. He said, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's nothing you can do. I was thinking about this when Derek was singing that prophetic song. I had this image in my mind for some reason. A person sitting in a bar and they're getting drunk and they're running from God. And right next to them is Jesus. Here's what David said. If I make my bed in the heavens, you'll find me. If I make my bed in hell, you'll find me. Where can I go to hide from you? Your love chases me down and finds me wherever I go. Yeah, there's nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. Nothing. Don't wait till you get to heaven to find out how much heaven loves you now. Okay, a couple more words and we're done. For all of us as Christian believers, God wants us to worship while we're waiting. When you don't know what to do, worship God. I put some psalms in your notes, and I'm going to kind of just give them to your devotional time. Hey, would you stand up? I think I'm all done. Would you stand up? And let's worship God for a few moments this morning. A few more moments. You are worthy of it all. Come on, someone help me. Prayer team, would you join me down front? You are worthy of it all. Come on, tell them this morning. For from you comes all things.
For from you are all things. And to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
You are worthy of it all, Jesus.
You are worthy of it all.
Say this little prayer with me. Would you say this? Lord Jesus, you're the center of my life. You're everything to me. Without you, I can do nothing. Forgive me for the times I've looked to people instead of looking to you. But today, I renew my praise. I renew my commitment to keep you first place in my life. I honor you today. with heartfelt praise. You are worthy of it all. Now come on, let's just tell him, you're worthy of it all. For from you
are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Come on, you are worthy of it all. Let's press into him a little bit. You are worthy of it all, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Listen, the Lord just spoke to me something so beautiful. He said, I'm healing broken hearts right now. I mean, listen to me. He said, hearts that have been broken by men are about to be healed by heaven. I don't care who broke your heart. Jesus heals broken hearts. And there's an exchange happening right now. And I saw 42. I believe there's 42 people here today that Jesus is going to deeply touch your heart. Because you've been hurting or broken. I want you just to respond. I don't care if someone prays for you. I just want you to come and stand in this altar. If you say, Pastor, I'm claiming my heart being healed today from brokenness. This is my day. I'm standing like Leah saying, I will praise the Lord today. Because something's happening. I'm pointing my heart toward heaven and away from people. Come on, if that's you, just come forward. We're going to pray for you and God's going to touch you. You are worthy of it all. Come on.